If you have not heard some of my stories, or if we've just met, I'm from the north part of Minnesota, and my family, my kids, are fifth generation to grow up camping in the Boundary Waters. And so when I was in fifth grade, it was the summer before going into fifth grade, we took one of our annual Boundary Waters trips. We were going to the north part of the Gunflint Trail, not far from the Canadian border, and we went to a lake called Seagull. This was a lake that my mom had grown up going to. My dad and my mom knew the area well. So we had pulled up to the landing, and if you know about camping in the Boundary Waters, you leave all your stuff behind, right? You leave your car and everything, you load up all your stuff in a canoe and a boat, and you go, and this particular trip, we were taking it kind of easy. This is a big lake, so we had a boat. We were gonna do some fishing and some, you know, hiking and some things like that around the islands. But we get to the landing, ready to leave our car, and it is a perfect, beautiful bluebird sky day. Now I know when we look out the window today, it's hard to imagine that we have those days here in Minnesota, but I promise you it was like that. Except that there were big red billowing clouds. Perfect bluebird day except for these big red billowing clouds. They were so bizarre. It looked like sunset or sunrise, except it was the middle of the day. It was getting to be later afternoon, evening. It was an odd sight. And the wind, for no other clouds, it was just very windy. And if you know anything about the family that I grew up in, I am the crazy oddball who likes to get up in the morning. Maybe my dad is a bit of a morning person as well, but the rest of my family are night owls, extreme night owls. And so we always would get going on these trips a little bit later than everybody else, which could kind of drive me nuts. But we get to the landing, so we're there a little bit later, and we get out into the lake, and we find our campsite, we find this island. It was so windy. I just remember setting the tents up, and they were like blowing up the hill, right? But because we got going later, we finally got our tent set up and our dinner made, and we are washing dishes after dinner, and it is like 9 p.m. And we are washing dinners by lantern light because it's just, you know, getting the first day set up and going. And sometimes when you're in that region, the Forest Service will come by and they'll check your permits and just make sure everything's okay. But a boat came up and it wasn't the Forest Service this time. It was the Cook County Sheriff's Department. It was their boat, which is just strange. And they pulled up and they said, "You see these red billowing clouds you've been watching all day? Those aren't clouds, those are smoke that's coming from a lake that's about two lakes north of where we are. There is a dangerous forest fire that is happening and we are evacuating everyone in the northern part of the Gunflint Trail. You cannot stay here tonight, you need to leave." We just got everything set up. We don't want to leave. And in the meantime, just the way that this island was positioned, the waves had knocked our boat up against the rocks. There's a little hole in this old fishing boat we had. We had to pack everything, take all the tents down, take everything down, pack everything back up. We had to pack the boat a certain way so that it would ride high enough so it wouldn't take in water and we wouldn't, you know, flood the boat. But when we finally get going at about 11 p.m., and thankfully, my parents knew this lake pretty well, and they were able to navigate. And I remember distinctly a beautiful full moon. And we had our lantern still out. And so we traveled by moonlight across this big lake back to the landing. We are in our sermon series that we are doing through Lent and into Easter called Come and See. And we're going to be going through the book of John. And last week, we talked about the first chapter of John, come and see, and we see Jesus. He begins to reveal his identity through these scriptures, and he calls his disciples to him. And this week, we are talking about come and see the light. Come and see the light. And as we've been introduced to Nicodemus, that Pastor Gordon was just talking about, we see the story of a religious leader, a prominent religious leader who has been faithful. He has traveled his journey of faith, and he has been faithful, but he has been watching Jesus. The Pharisees saw Jesus and his work. They were watching what he was doing. It made some of them angry, but Nicodemus is curious. He's considerate of the things that he's seeing, and so he arranges to meet Jesus after dark. because he doesn't necessarily want the rest of the Pharisees to know that he's considering who this Jesus is. And so they make this arrangement. Also, it may have just been easier. Jesus' schedule is pretty full. He had lots of crowds following him all the time, so it might have just been easier to meet at night. We could actually have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus. But he says, he acknowledges, meets in the dark. I'm in chapter 3 of John, for those of you who may be following along in Scripture. He says, "Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us." That is recognizable. We can see that you're teaching us something. "Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replies, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus recognizes this faithful follower. Nicodemus has become sort of a disciple or a follower on the sides, in secret. He's watching on the sidelines. Do you know those people who are watchers? You may not always notice that they've sort of slid into the scene. They're kind of in the backgrounds, but they're watching. They're catching everything. This is my dad. He's one of these guys where he might be sitting, and you might not even realize you've walked by him, but he's catching the things that are going on that the rest of us are missing, especially us extroverts who are just babbling away and blah, blah, blah. We miss all the details of what other people are doing. But the watchers. Nicodemus is a watcher. He's paying attention to the things that Jesus is doing. And Jesus recognizes his faithfulness, and he invites him in to this deep conversation, this deep theological conversation. Nicodemus responds by saying, "What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus replies, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce more humans, but the Holy Spirit can give birth to a spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, and just as you can't hear the wind, but you can, and you can't tell where it's coming or going, but you can feel it. It's a mystery. So you can't explain how people are born of the Holy Spirit. It is a mystery." How are these things possible? Nicodemus asks. Have you ever had one of those conversations where you think you're talking about one thing, and after a while you go, Are we having the same conversation? Like, are you talking about the same thing I'm talking about? Because I'm a little, I don't know if we're, are we on the same page? I don't, you know, Gordon, you know, he probably never feels this way, but like, it happens in close relationships, right? Like, are we in the same book? You know, and I wonder if Nicodemus is having one of those moments where he's like, "Jesus, I came to ask you about these things you're doing and you being a teacher and these miracles you're performing. And what are you talking about, this being born again?" Right? Jesus recognizes that Nicodemus is a faithful follower, and he calls him to go a little deeper. The term born again would actually not be a foreign term to the Hebrew people, to these religious leaders. This term born again was something that they would have used for the Gentiles who are not didn't have the heritage, right, the nationality. They weren't born Hebrew, but they've said, I want to become Jewish. And so they would call them born again in the essence that they were taking on a new nationality, a new identity, right? And so Nicodemus says, "I'm an old man in the sense that I have been following this faith for a long time. What do you mean I need to be born again?" And Jesus responds by saying, "I'm going to invite you to something a little deeper. I'm not talking about the physical things. I'm not talking about the religious laws and trying to keep up with this and trying to do this on your own. I'm talking about a supernatural, spiritual birth. God wants to give you more of who he is." Verses 10 through 13 go on to say this. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things?" Look, Nicodemus, no guy, no person has been on earth and then gone to heaven and then been able to come back down and tell us about heaven. But I have come from heaven and I can tell you about these things. I can give you that testimony. I can invite you to experience the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. It goes on to one of the most infamous verses that we hear about. People who may not have any other relationship with the Bible may have heard this verse, right? We know it, we've heard this. For God so loved this world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him have everlasting life. Jesus is still talking to Nicodemus. He's saying to someone who has faithfully followed all this time, look, a God who so loved you, who so loves us, who so wants to give you more of his presence, sent me that I may walk among you, that I may be among you, that you may see and taste and hear and experience. And I invite you, Nicodemus, and I invite you to come and experience the fullness of God's presence. It's followed by verse 17 that says, God sent his son into this world not to judge the world, but to save it through Jesus, to save it through me. Look, I want to take off the chains. I want to take off the burdens. I want to break the barriers. I want to come into this world, and I invite my presence that you may experience it to the fullest through me. Through me. So, as we left the lake, as we were getting closer, we could kind of see the landing on this trip. It's close to midnight, you know, we're still traveling by moonlight. We had this lantern that one person was holding on one end, and we were all tied together in these canoes, and then we just happened to have this leaky propane, you know, one of those little propane tanks that, anyway, it screws into the lantern, and it was leaking. It just happened to be leaking, and so somebody on the other end was holding it so they wouldn't touch, and these three canoes come out of the landing, and they are putting into the lake. Now, that's not a normal practice. And I remember at that young age going, why are they coming onto the lake at midnight? This doesn't make sense. And they were smoking a little something. I don't think it was a cigarette. And they came up to us and we're like, just stay away from that part of the canoe because we don't want to explode. Okay, thank you. And they're asking us what lake they're in. We're like, this is going to be an interesting trip for them. Now, I get that some people like to go and they like to have their fishing and a little party at the Boundary Waters, but this is a new kind of party. I'm not sure I want to be on this trip with these guys, right? They don't know what lake they're in. They're asking us what the map looks like. And I'm thinking, why are you coming in to the dark in this lake? This lake is notorious for having lots of islands, and the contour under the water has a lot of variables. There's shallow parts, but if you're not careful or if you're not looking at the map, you can hit your boat or your canoe on rocks, and you can hit your motor. Or there's other parts that are very deep. We're going to navigate this very carefully. Verse 19 says this, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. It's like the moonlight provided just enough light. It's like we walk on this earth and there's just enough light of God's presence that it's almost like you could get by with that. But why would you enter this lake in moonlight when you can enter it in broad daylight and you can see the fullness of the lake and you can navigate it more easily? And this is what this verse is speaking to. Why would you want to walk in the darkness when God is offering the fullness of broad daylight to us? God is offering the fullness of his presence and his light to us. There's always more. Even to a faithful follower like Nicodemus, he says, I've got more for you. Come and experience. Come and be born again in the rich presence of my Holy Spirit that you may experience the broad daylight, the fullness of who I am. There's always more. There's always more. And it is interesting, even as Pastor Gordon pointed out in his children's moment, that he starts in the darkness. Nicodemus starts in the darkness, but there's two more times that Nicodemus is mentioned in the book of John, and he's in daylight. It's symbolic that he moves into the daylight. In chapter 7, we see Nicodemus again. This time, the Pharisees are all up in arms because the temple guards didn't arrest Jesus. The temple guards were like, we've never seen anybody like this. The Pharisees are all mad. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus' defense. He takes a bold risk, a bold move here, and he says, is it legal to convict a man before he has been given a hearing? And the rest of the Pharisees, they chastise him for this. And then later, at the end of the book, we see Nicodemus again. He's with a man named Joseph of Arimathea and a couple other people. Jesus has just been crucified. And Joseph and Nicodemus take another bold risk. And they ask for Jesus' body. You see, the Romans would leave the crucified people on the cross, one, as a warning. Don't do what these guys did or you'll end up like this. And two, as a final insult, we're not even going to give you a proper burial. So Nicodemus and Joseph and a couple others, they go and they ask for Jesus' body. This is a bold risk. Roman guards didn't necessarily have to give it to him, but they do. And they give Jesus' body and they find the open tomb, the empty cave to put him in. It says Nicodemus buys 75 pounds of anointing oil to honor Jesus, give him a proper burial. The quiet observer, the one who's been watching, the disciple who's been watching from afar. And we look at our own lives, who am I watching? Who is further ahead in faith that I can pay attention to, that I can learn from and glean from, and even if it's from afar? Anybody out here know who David Crowder is? I almost asked Pastor Gordon to play a clip of one of his music. Yeah, Aurora does. Thank you, Aurora. I love his music. He's got great music, and his lyrics are full of great theology. I like to tease that he doesn't know it, but he and I are buddies. David Crowder and I were brothers, sister. I've never met him. I don't know if I'll ever get to. But I'm watching him from afar. I appreciate his art and his music. Priscilla Schreier and Susie Larson are two of the people that I choose to look to follow, to listen to learn from. I probably will never get to meet them, but I'm watching them from afar. Who are you watching? Who are you paying attention to that you can learn from? And as I walk through this journey of faith, I'm always reminded that God is always doing so much more than I can see. He's working around so much greater than I know. People are watching you. People are watching your life. People are looking and they're seeing the light that is in you. Verse 21 goes on to say in chapter 3, but those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Jesus invites us to walk in the light. Jesus invites us to experience the fullness of his presence. And others are watching, they're curious, they're seeing the light that is shining through us. And I want to invite you today. Some of you have been faithful followers, like Nicodemus. And God has more. There's more of his presence. And there's more of his Holy Spirit to be poured out on you. And some of you, this is a new thought. This is a new space. But I want to invite you to come out of the moonlight and to walk into the sunlight where there is the fullness of experiencing God's glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. He talks about this being born again, an image that we can have a new life. We experience the power of the Holy Spirit birthed in us. So I'm going to invite you all to come and join and pray with me. Jesus, I thank you We praise you. We praise you for your presence in our lives. We praise you for the gift of who you are, and God, that you came because you love us, a reckless, reckless love. A love that would pour out on us. And so, God, we just ask for a fresh anointing, a fresh pouring out, a fresh experience of your Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to pour into this place, to pour out on us wherever we may be. We invite a fuller measure of your presence in our lives. We praise you and we thank you, God, that you came to give us new life. It is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.